put you the king's armor on. And at first I thought that was Saul was really trying to do him a favor. But Saul put the armor on him so the people would think that he was the king. Saul was scary himself. And would much rather put a boy out there and dress him like a king for him to die. Isn't that something? Hoping that that would spare his life whenever, because they would think, well, we killed the king, so we ain't got to run him down to kill him. Isn't that something? But look at this. So David puts on the armor.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord. Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. It ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. I'm going to look at verse 2. Hebrews chapter 4, and I just want to lift out verse 2. It says, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in his presence. "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." I just want to speak from the subject. It's not enough to know and not show. It's not enough to know and not show. When we look at this word, my brothers and sisters, how important it is for us to understand that information in and of itself is not an end to it all. It is not just a completeness in and of itself. So many of us are faced with information overload, and then we are dealing with implementation underload, and that leads to an improper role. The believer is not to be caught with just the advantage of knowing, but rather knowing and doing. James said that you ought not be just a hearer of the word, but rather a doer of the word. We are exposed to an endless array of gospel and Christian information through tapes and sermons and books and seminars and articles and Christian radio. And we've got information just everywhere. We have information overload. My brothers and sisters, with all of this information at our fingertips, you would think that we live a pretty near perfect life. But how far is that from the truth? Some of us wake up with the gospel music, go to sleep with the gospel music, get in our cars with the gospel music, read our word for today, the daily bread, the daily word, read our Bibles, pray, sing, minister, talk to folk, on the prayer lines, all this, all day, all, and yet wrestle with sin issues and wrestle with promises not being fulfilled, wrestle with us not being developed and defined to the place and level we ought to be, not seeing the spiritual rewards of our labor come to fruition, not seeing things work out like God said. Why is this? all of the information. Some folk, I mean, they just literally every place they can get a word from the Lord, they're getting it. They run from this church to that church. They turn on this television ministry to that television ministry. They're looking for this. Somebody say, have you seen this? Have you read this? They're doing all of this, but there is no change. You're going to discover, my brothers and sisters, that it's not God's desire for you to have an information overload. Let me just go through the word and share some things with you, if you don't mind. Let's look at Ecclesiastes, if you don't mind. And I want you to hear what one of the wisest men on earth said. In the first chapter, in the 18th verse of Ecclesiastes, it says this: for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Did you hear what the man said? He says, listen at this. If you want more wisdom, he says, I need you to know that there is a responsibility that is connected with the wisdom that you gain. It's important to recognize, brothers and sisters, that more wisdom brings you more grief. Well, why is that? Well, let me finish what he says. He says, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Now, this by no means is a measure to decrease your thirst for knowledge or to deter your much studying, but what it does reveal is the fact that the more you gain wisdom, what happens is you recognize that there are things that are not right, not straight, not correct. The more knowledge and wisdom you gain, you begin to see how much stuff is not in order, not operating right. It brings grief to you when you say, these people ought to know better. These people ought to be operating at a higher level. It brings more grief to you because somebody who's been with the Lord 50 years are walking with folk who's been with the Lord less than 5 years. Wisdom brings you the ability to know and to do. And then when you see again, not only in yourself, some things that you ought to be doing that you're not doing, you become filled with grief about your lack of ability or inability to fulfill the thing. You get mad with yourself. I ought to be further than this. I ought to be stronger than this. I ought to be able to accomplish more than this. When you look at that through the eyes of wisdom and see where you are as opposed to where you ought to be, grief settles in. Well, when you increase knowledge, the word says you also increase sorrow. Because now, when you know better, James say you ought to. And if you don't do better, it's sin. If you ain't had enough sin to contend with. Well, now I'm reading the word of God and God says, don't do this. Golly. Man, this is what I love to do. I ain't know that was a sin. Now you know it's a sin. So now you're sorrowful because what you thought wasn't a sin. Now you read, found out it is sin, so you got to do something about it or deal with the consciousness that this thing in God's eye is sin. I ain't hurting nobody. I just go on the boat. I only spend $20. I ain't hurting nobody. I ain't not paying no bill. I'm not missing responsibility. I'm just having a little fun. I ain't drinking. I ain't smoking. I'm just having a little fun. You know, well then, I'm not supposed to let my good be evil spoken of. I mean, I'm realizing as I walk through the word, read the word, and get more knowledge that the things that I didn't think were no sin, I didn't think that this was an issue, I didn't think that this was a problem, I didn't think that, you know, when I mean, clearly, when I begin to read more, see more, understand more, more sorrow comes with that. Well, I mean, I know it was wrong, but I wasn't doing it. But God told me to say to somebody else, my friend, my brother, my neighbor, my coworker, whatever, hey, that's wrong. But I didn't want, I said, look, that's their business. Well, I'm supposed to be a witness for him. Why am I not opening my mouth and being a witness? I know better. You know, it's kind of like this. But listen, I mind my business, and I let you mind your business. You don't bother me. I ain't gonna bother you. But the word says something different about that. especially to another brother or sister in the faith who's overtaken with a fault. So when I begin to look at this thing, I've gained more knowledge. Now more sorrow has come to my life. Now listen to this. This is literally dealing in the arena of information overload. Let's go through the 12th chapter, still in Ecclesiastes. Chapter 12, verse 12. And he says this, and further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. He said, listen, don't fool yourself. There are going to be people making books every day about everything in every arena. And listen, and the more studying you do, the more weariness to the flesh, because the bottom line is you'll never read every book they published. You'll never gain all of the knowledge. You'll never be in all of the know. So it is a weariness to the flesh when you constantly consume yourself with information overload. And the question then becomes, what does it really profit you if all you're getting is information? Just to have it in your library, in your memory, in your reference, and do nothing about it. What does it profit you? God gave the people of God just 10 commandments. 10. They couldn't even follow that. 10. Do you know you would consume your life with trying to just follow 10 commandments? You've got 66 books in the Bible, and I promise you that you would find it difficult just trying to keep the 10 commandments, less known everything that's in the Bible. But I want you to see something else. Let's turn, if you don't mind, to 2 Timothy. I want you to see this word. Chapter 3, verse 7. He's talking about the perilous times that shall come and how people will be acting, etc. But they'll still be trying to read self-help books and information and be in cell group studies and Bible studies and, you know, going from church to church and turning on ministers after ministers and all that, trying to get information. But look at what verse 7 says. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You always in somebody Bible study. You got Bible study at church. You got Bible study at home. You got Bible study on the job. You got Bible study here, Bible study there. All of that ever learning and never coming into the knowledge of the truth. So what does all of that profit you? Go to church 10 times a week. Act worse than those who don't go to church, none. What is it profiting you? You won't act like you all that know you can quote enough word, man, to save a generation. And let somebody stump your toe and you will cuss them lower than a sailor. Out of that same mouth that flows the word, here comes some cussing that will cuss you out. I mean, literally strip you apart, leave you with your mouth open. And they're in Bible study, they're in church, they're in the choir, they're everywhere, you know, all over, they're everywhere. What does it profit you? And so John 8:32 says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But here's what the word says, no. You've got to know the truth. That means having revelation about the truth as well as understanding. You can't know truth until truth has been revealed to you, and the Holy Ghost is the one who reveals that truth. Now listen, I don't care about commentaries and commentators and references and all that's wonderful and good, because you can get all of that information. But if the Holy Ghost does not reveal the spiritual truth applicable to your life, you won't really understand and know that in your spirit, man. I mean, how many of us have honestly read the truth and hadn't done it continuously, consistently? All right, so we have read the truth, but we didn't really know the truth. Because when you know the truth will make you free. Make you, which literally controls you rather than you controlling it. When something is made or is to be made, it is by a power or an authority greater than the subject or object itself. The truth is greater than you. When you really know it, it transforms you. Not just when you hear it, just not when you read it, but when you know it. When it's been revealed and when it gets underneath the skin and there is a word, a rhema word, a real word, a revelation on that word, then it creates the change on the inside of you. And so when you begin to know that, it does that. Let's look at this word because I want you to see. If information overload is an issue, let's see what the problem really is. Go back, if you will, to Hebrews. The Bible says, verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached. We heard the word. We had knowledge of the word. It was no new thing. As a matter of fact, if I didn't preach the word today and just got up and gave an invitation, people can be saved already by the word they've already heard. You don't have to have it said today for you to be saved. That word is already in your ears. It has already entered into your spirit. God is already still working underneath your skin, readying you for the day of acceptance. And if that is today, so many times you've seen it in our services. The Spirit of the Lord and the presence of the Lord was so high in the place that I didn't even get a chance to preach the gospel that day. But I gave an invitation because the word had gone forth, both preached. It had gone forth in scripture reading. It had gone forth by way of prayer. It had gone forth by way of song. And it was already in the hearts of the people. And it had already broken up that fallow ground. And so God had already been able to do the work that he wanted to do in that heart. So when the invitation was extended, people came based on the word they had already heard preached. So knowing that and understanding that, he says this again, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, to those who did not believe, to those who did not receive, to those who do not accept. For those who do not take the invitation personally and surrender their lives to God, it's been preached to them just like it was preached to us. There are things that God has spoken in a word that was so personal that it had your name, your address, your social security number, and your cell number on it. You couldn't deny it was for you if you wanted to. As a matter of fact, it could have been as if nobody else were in the place but you. It was so personal that everything and everybody else was blocked out, as if God sent me to speak to you one-on-one. And you knew it was God speaking to you. And yet you did not get the rewards of that word. Did not get that God wanted you to get, that he sent personally to you because of your non-participatory part. Listen again, I thank God for the fact that I'm held under warrant to preach this gospel. That's why Paul said, woe unto me if I preach not this gospel. It's my responsibility to take this truth, break this truth down, do it correctly so that you can get the understanding God wants you to get. It's not my responsibility for you to accept it. And so if you come here and know that God has spoken to you and you do nothing with the mail, it's on you, boo. You can't get mad with the messenger. You can't hand me back the mail and say, I don't want it. You can do any, that it's not me. It's my responsibility to give it to you the way thus saith the Lord. But it is yours to take it from that point and do what God has ordered and ordained for you to do with that word. Bible says he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destruction. So what's the purpose of the word if you aren't going to do anything with the word? I keep telling you, what's the sense in wasting your time coming to church, turning on television, turning on the radio, opening up your Bible, if you're not going to let this word soak in, sink in, saturate your spirit, man, so that a change can come? What's the sense in continuing to play church when you don't profit from play church and role playing
this is not a theater where it's showtime at 8:30 or 11 o'clock or 7 o'clock and you go through your world, whether it's a deacon or whether it's a preacher or whether it's a singer or whether it's just a pew member out there to say amen when you are prompted to say amen. It is a worship experience. It is a real life experience where you connect with the Spirit of God and of truth, and you worship Him and you receive from Him and you praise Him and you practice the principles so you can profit from them. So when you come back next week, you've got praise in your spirit because you've overcome the devil. You've overcome trials. You've overcome tribulations. You've been strengthened in your inner man. You've seen the word come to fruition in your life. Nobody has to beg you to stand up, to lift up holy hands, to open your mouth, to give Him praise. Nobody has to prop you to say hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Nobody's got to prop you to make you feel all right. You feel all right because of what He's done for you, because you've done what you're supposed to do. No matter how rough and tough things get, faith starts stirring up in you. And you say, like the song said earlier, I got a feeling. I know it don't look good right now. And I know it might not feel good right now. But I've got a feeling. Everything, oh yeah, it's going to be all right. I don't care what the devil told me. I don't care what I heard folks say about me. I don't care what's going on in the street. I've got a feeling, according to this word, the Spirit of the Lord and my faith. And everything, I said everything, I said something, I said everything is going to be all right. Listen at the word again. It says, as well as unto them, but the word preached, all of this is past tense, listen, did not profit. Did it say did not profit and stop? No. It said did not profit them. Well, who are the them? The them represents those who heard and did not act by faith. Them represents those who heard. And that's amazing how you can be sitting right on the side of a person. Man, the Spirit of truth and the revelation of God hits you, and oh man, it's like a whole light went off and you got that understanding and your spirit is lifted and lightened because of this truth. And they're sitting on the side of you like, what? What, did I miss something? Yes. I mean, because here's what you got to understand. This faith that God has given, according to Romans 12 and 3, every man is on the inside of you. The word enters your ears, your hearing, goes into your spirit man. Listen at this. And lies dormant, inactive, inoperable, listen, active to what God said it would do without you putting the activation to that word that is necessary to make that word come alive. It's just like the instant mixes that all you have to do is add water, add milk, add vodka, y'all hear good, can't you? All you got to do is add it and mix it. Ever made some tea, Kool-Aid, you know, any other kind of stuff, and then you let it set in the ice box, refrigerator, whatever you want to call it, for a day or so, and you just poured it. Now, that's not a wise spring, but some folk do that. They just pour a glass after it's set that much time. And Now, do you go back in the cabinet, grab more sugar and pour in it, or do you get a spoon? See, because what you have in the container is already there. But because it wasn't being used, it started separating. And you've got to know you've got enough word in you already to cause those things that God said to happen. But because you're not using it, it starts separating. But I guarantee, if you just stir, mix that thing up again, you won't find it was sweet as it was when you thought it was sweet enough. Tell somebody it's still there. It's in there. But you got to mix it up, stir it up, bring it back together. He said the problem with them was it didn't profit them. Why? Let's go back to the word and see. Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Not being mixed with faith. They heard it. They had it. But they didn't utilize it. And it began to separate. Certain salad dressings. Yeah, Italian for sure. You look at that stuff on the shelf, you're like, oh my goodness. But you get it and just shake it up a little bit and get all of the ingredients mixed back together. It even looks better, doesn't it? Not only does it look better, but God knows it tastes better. If you pull the cap unmixed and just start pouring, all you're going to get is oil from the top. And though the oil will have the essence of the seasonings in there, it won't be as rich and full. Lord, I'm hungry this morning. But if you want the fullness of what God offers you, all I'm trying to tell somebody is you got to mix it up, shake it up. You've already got what you're asking God for on the inside of you. You got to do something with it. You don't need no more, no extra, no new. Just use what you got. Start speaking what God has already said to you. Start operating in that thing the way God has already instructed you. See him bring to pass the promise he's already made to you by you mixing it with your faith. They didn't profit because they did not mix it with action. God, you promised me this was going to happen. Yes, I did. But I also gave you a part to play.
Monroe, West Monroe.